about you gotta put it in perspective.
Selena! Selena! Miss Gomez, Selena! God damn it!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Are you a veteran, Charlie?
Yeah, I'm a vet.
Did you see combat?
Yeah.
Did you kill a man?
No, I ain't do no killing or shooting going on, but I did a lot of running, though.
Yeah, I'm a decider, because I have decision-making abilities that allow me to think of thoughts and have it transfer through my brain, out my mouth hole, and then into your ears.
Well, that's just good sense right there.
And now...
Next up, we're going to head outside for some good old-fashioned grilling and a twist on mac and cheese you can't afford to miss.
Our feature presentation.
There's no such thing.
Very excited about mac and cheese today.
I can't afford to miss it.
No, you can't afford to miss this twist.
What's up, party people? It's Tuesday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Did everyone arrive back from New York City in one piece?
Everyone is here.
Yes.
Yeah?
Some worse for the wear, but everyone's here.
That traveling, man, that takes it out of you, doesn't it?
Strangely. Like, even if you're not doing anything, for
yeah,
some reason...
Yeah, you think you're just on a plane.
Yeah.
You're reading. You're sitting.
You're resting.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know.
You're exhausted.
Yeah, it's weird.
Is it something to do with the air? Is it the air in the plane that somehow makes you tired, or what's going on? Why does that happen? I do understand
that even though they compress the plane, it's not like being on the ground. So maybe that does tax your system.
Right. Because, you know, you see what happens to astronauts when they're in space in terms of, and I know it's, you know, it's not the same, but you see that the, you know, the gravity and everything has a real effect on their bones and their muscles and everything like that. Maybe just wears you down a little bit just being that high up. I don't know. I don't know anything about anything. The older I get, the more I realize that I know very little about almost every subject. In fact, that kind of leads me into this story because of all the subjects I know next to nothing about, golf has got to be pretty high on the list. I really don't know anything about golf. I mean, I know it's not a sport. I get that.
Right.
Okay.
How do people decide whether to play as an amateur or as a professional? Like, why, if you were good enough to compete as a professional, what's the advantage of not turning pro and staying amateur? I understand why college football players don't go pro because they want to continue to play college, get better, get stronger, get more, you know, get a better history, so they'll be drafted higher and maybe go to college. I understand all that. Why would a golfer not turn pro if he could?
I've never heard of that. I would think you would as soon as you can.
Yeah.
This is Lydia Ko, who's become quite a sensation in the golf world. She's 16 years old now, and for the second year in a row, she won the Canadian Women's Open, which is a professional tournament. Last year she won it at 15. She won it again over the weekend at 16. There's a $300,000 first prize for winning the tournament, which as an amateur, she is ineligible to receive.
What?
So the 300 grand goes to her runner-up, the second place finisher, a golfer from France who did not win the tournament but gets the $300,000 first place prize money because she is a professional.
What? That really sucks. That doesn't make any sense.
I've got some people above me, like my mom and dad. They're the boss. They're going to help me make the right decision to turn pro and at what time. I think as I'm only 16, it's still quite hard to make that huge decision. When I turn pro, it's like a job. Money is all about it and everything like that. Every shot counts. I hope somebody will email me and let me know what I don't understand about why somebody wouldn't turn pro. Like, I don't see what the downside, I mean, would be for her. Obviously, she'd enter the world of, you know, taxes and things like that. But it seems like a 16-year-old golfer who's this good could make tons, even more money than the tournaments with endorsements and everything else.
Maybe she has to drop out of, where is she, high school and, you know, go full-time and travel and all that kind of stuff. And maybe
Possible.
She's just not into that. But if her parents give away another 300 grand, that's going to be the last of their decisions.
Right, exactly. This is two of them in a row now.
Forget you, mom and dad.
No, you're right. Maybe if you turn pro, there's a certain amount of tournaments that you're required to play in, and maybe that would impact your ability to go to school or to be at home or to play other sports. I don't know very much about this young woman, but it's just fascinating. You don't see a story like this very often where somebody wins and isn't eligible for the money.
Yeah.
And then they give it to the second place. That's crazy.
That's like,
weird.
Woohoo.
Yeah, no kidding.
That would be the best.
I'm number two.
So good times. Well done, Lydia Ko.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin Amicho, shall we?
How you doing, Juicy?
I'm not positive what that means, but I love it. On today's show, we're going to give away some more tickets for Nine Inch Nails.
Okay.
Yeah, how about that at the Troubadour?
At the Troub, not bad. Doing a title fight today.
You got that's
Lisa,
right.
You got Lisa or Dave the King of Mexico. Dave the King of Mexico just came back from New York and is a little, you know.
Uh-huh. What are you saying there?
I think I'm choosing you. That's what
I
I'm
think
saying.
That's wise always.
What's happening with Lamar Odom and doing crack? What's up with that?
We talked to Dax from the TMZ newsroom yesterday, and what a surprise it was that something like this could be a secret for so long. If he's been doing crack for a couple of years, how did he continue to play basketball and not fail drug tests?
Well, for a couple of years, I don't know that he has. I mean, he was in Dallas, remember, and then he got kicked out?
Yeah, right? That's true.
How did somebody just, you know, smelling a paycheck not come forward and say, I sold crack to Lamar Odom? Like, where's that person? How does something like this stay a secret when you're a celebrity as big as Lamar Odom with a family like that? It's just, it's a crazy story.
And number three, isn't crack whack?
I've heard that is true.
All right. The creators of Drunk History back in the studio, Derek Waters and Jeremy Connor. Very excited about that.
I love them.
That show's so good.
Yeah.
Something here called Future Kevin, and I'm not sure I'm a fan of that. You bought something and you got more than you expected. This happens every once in a while.
A lot of crazy stories lately about people who buy a painting for $4 at a garage sale and it turns out to be worth $1 million or something like that. It's just it's interesting how many somebody bought a bowl at a yard sale for $3 the other day, ended up selling for over $2 million.
What?
You just don't know.
But that person couldn't keep it because she was an amateur.
I know, it's weird, right?
It's strange how that works. So that's coming up. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Fascinating article that came out a few days ago on Salon.com of the 15 most hated bands of the last 30 years, including, you'll be not surprised to know, quite a few K-Rock bands on the list.
How about that?
We will discuss coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Ralph.
Gordon Lightfoot, number one?
No.
Focus list.
Bogus list, then.
How dare you.
Acceptable. How do you think the Parents Television Council felt about the Music Video Awards the other night?
Two thumbs up?
Absolutely.
They're very
loved much
it.
In favor. Oh, wait a minute. No. They just released their statement slamming the show. Here's a little piece of it. MTV continues to sexually exploit young women by promoting acts that incorporate twerking in a nude-colored bikini. How is this image of former child star Miley Cyrus appropriate for 14-year-olds? They ask.
Because Miley used to be on a Disney show, is she required to maintain that image for life? I'm just curious.
Well, I think they're saying that MTV said, with the rating system, said it was okay for 14 and older.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
And they said MTV has once again succeeded in marketing sexuality-charged messages to young children using former child stars and condom commercials while falsely rating this program as appropriate for kids as young as 14.
Do they think MTV goes, all right, we need to corrupt people.
We need to get more teen pregnancy. What can we do? Miley, would you be willing to twerk for us? No, I really don't want to. Please. It's really important that 14 start fornicating. Oh, all right. I'm pretty modest, but in this case for you, MTV, I'll stick my tongue out and hump a bear. They don't understand how the world works. I do, though.
That was a don't have sex PSA, that one, yeah, with Miley.
You know, a lot of news about the casting of Ben Affleck, of course, as Batman.
Sure.
Meanwhile, everyone's saying also, who's going to play Lex Luthor? Arch-villain of Superman is going to show up in the second Man of Steel movie.
Farrah Abramson?
Yes, just been announced. Farrah Abramson.
Weird Al Yankovic.
Weird Al Yankovic. Not going to be Lex Luthor, no. Turns out, Bryan Cranston.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Guy can do anything.
Well, he's not going to be able to grow his hair for the next couple years. All the guy does is shave his head.
That's
when
true.
He has to act. Yeah, he is going to play Lex Luthor, according to many different sources. He's got a multi-picture deal that would keep him as Lex Luthor for...
That's great casting.
To go. Very good, very good casting.
As Kevin Spacey was, by the way.
He did a good job as well.
Why does no one want him to have hair, though, for real? How long? You said multi?
Bryan Cranston? Yeah.
4 or 5 years?
Several pictures. Here. We'll have some breaks in between films so he can grow his hair out. But he's going to be bald a lot.
He grew his hair out in between the two halves of this final Breaking Bad season. Remember, we saw him in the first episode with a full head of hair. That was for real.
Yeah. Looks like Khloe Kardashian and Lamar Odom will be headed towards a very speedy divorce. Word is Khloe and the Kardashian family are quite done with Lamar. Well, it's nice that she's abandoning him and his addiction problems. That's nice. I mean, if things got tough, she's hitting the door. There is apparently an ironclad prenup in place that won't take much for the two of them to separate legally. No one's retained legal counsel. You know, they were married after just 4 weeks of dating. Would have gotten married if they had dated for 6 months or a year or something like that.
Who do you think's worth more between those two?
Lamar?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Is he playing? He's not even the team anymore, is he?
No. I don't think so, but...
I just don't... Who knows what he did with his money for all the years he was working, you know?
What's she doing?
Well, she's part of the empire. She's got all the makeup line and the clothing line, everything. Oh, well, she gets a piece of all that. A piece of all the Keeping Up with the Kardashian TV money. Hmm. So, and, all right, I'm getting a little tired of this. You want to know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, well,
sure.
Okay. You just mean this in general, or?
Well, yeah, but also... Now every show has to have a show that talks about it afterwards.
Ah, sure.
First, yes, it started with The Walking Dead. We had The Talking Dead, right? Everybody gets
which
together
and talk,
which is great because that's the kind of show you have a lot of questions about. A lot of people wanted to talk about it afterwards. That's what people were doing in their homes, and they were doing it on television with Chris Hardwick. I get that. Then you had Talking Bad after Breaking Bad.
Right.
Then Shark Week had to have a show at the end of the night of Shark Week to talk about, hey, that shark sure ate that seal, didn't it? You don't need that. You don't need the Shark Week talk show.
That was every night, too.
Just announced now, Anarchy Afterward will be a talk show discussing every episode of Sons of Anarchy after each and every show this week. You don't need a talk show to talk about Sons of Anarchy.
Just watch Sons of Anarchy.
Just watch it, enjoy it, and then go about your business. You don't need a talk show afterwards. Stop it, America. With the TV show talk shows. Everything's going to have one. Well, today, after today. Oh, did you see what Matt Lauer was wearing today? We don't need that.
That's what TMZ Live is really, too, to the OG TMZ show, right?
Yeah.
Same thing, just talking about the stories that they did in the regular show.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Speaking of Breaking Bad, Aaron Paul. He's a pretty good actor, turns out.
He sure is.
Yes, he is.
34 years old today.
Sure makes some bad choices with money, though.
Sarah Chalk. She's 37. Tony Kanal, our buddy from No Doubt, is 43. Bobo of Cypress Hill is 45 years old. And Paul Rubens, Pee-wee Herman himself, 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Coming up just a few minutes, we're going to have some more beer mug tape from New York City, if you can stand it. This is, are you going to finish that, right? This feature he did. Did he just run up to people and just try to clean up their plates?
Random people. Some of them hadn't even started eating yet.
Was this a bit, or are you just following him?
No, it was a bit. I mean, we came up with the idea because he does that to me all the time.
Yeah.
So he just walked up to random strangers in New York City and asked them if they're going to finish that.
Great.
It was pretty funny.
All right. I thought this was a fascinating article. I'm obsessed with listening to music, as you guys know. Mm-hmm. And I like a lot of different kinds of music, but there's some music that just nobody should like. There's some music that's so bad it just sucks. Unfortunately, that is not a category that is universally agreed on. Your favorite band might be a band that somebody else thinks is one of the worst bands ever and should never have recorded a record, right? How dare you? Kevin, for instance, hates the Beatles. Inexcusable, right? There's no rational reason to hate the Beatles. The Beatles are obviously awesome. But there are a lot of bands on this list, which is headlined the 15 most hated bands of the last 30 years that I agree with, and some that I was surprised to see on the list, and I thought it might be fun to kind of go through. Now, the premise of this article is these are not obscure, like, Japanese garage rock bands
who
no one's ever heard of that suck. These are bands that have to be enormously popular in order to make it on the list. Bands that have millions of fans. Somebody has to love them in order for you to hate them, according to get on this list, okay?
Now, it's bands, not artists? So, it like, is, sing, it, one singer is not?
It does, no, it does. It says bands in the headline, but yeah, it does include it some solo artists as well, right?
Taylor Swift.
So when Taylor Swift is nowhere near this list.
Come on!
He's about a billion miles away from this list.
Bogus.
But in all seriousness, and I know you have problems really more with her, and I think this is what one of the things I learned about reading this article is that a lot of – I think a lot of the names are on this list because people have a problem with the personality of the artist, even more so than the music. They're just dicks.
Okay, all right.
And that's why people don't like him. So when I say the worst bands of the or worst musical artists of the last 30 years, who's the very first name that comes to mind? Like, who would you guarantee? Like, who would you, if you had $1,000 to put down, who would you bet would be on this list?
I know what I would answer, but I don't know that I would bet on it because I think a lot of people like them. But okay, this band to me should be number one, and it's Nickelback.
Nickelback is number one. They don't actually technically rank them on this list, but in the order of the article, Nickelback is first. Hating Nickelback used to be
terrible.
Hating Nickelback used to be cool, but it's so easy that it's kind of just a fact now. Wow. Is what they say about Nickelback. So, yes, Kevin, excellent guess, Nickelback. Right. Now, there are a couple on here that I was not at all surprised to see. One of my – what is certainly somebody that would be on my list, and I know that there are some members of the Kevin Bean family who like this band, but I got to say Black Eyed Peas.
I got a feeling –
yeah,
that tonight's gonna be a good night.
Black Eyed Peas are on this list of the 50 most hated artists of the last 30 years.
Look, there are some bands that and music that I like, but I can see why people hate it.
Yeah,
right.
And that's certainly one of them. And I don't like all their songs, but some of them are good.
Here's another band that I think I would have put that $1,000 down on to make the list, and it's Creed.
Then tears of joy stream down my face.
And again, I think part of that was that dude was such a tool. Remember, he was just so impressed with himself and so super serious about what he was doing. He was making crappy music but pretending like he was a gift to the world.
Right.
I think
right.
that was part of the problem. Here's another band you won't be surprised to find on the list.
Your best bet is to stay away, motherfucker. It's just one of those days. It's all about the he said, she said.
And it's interesting to think that there was a time where that was one of the biggest bands in the world and one of the biggest bands on K-Rock. We used to play all of their records all the time, and it's Limp Bizkit.
You know what's funny about that, Bean? Literally, just before you played that clip, I couldn't remember the name of the band, so I wrote down Fred Durst Band, and I got mugs. And I got mugs like, what band is that? And then you immediately played it.
Here's a couple more lists from the worst musical artists of all time. And we're not going to have time to go through them all, but this might be fun to do another time when we do, to invite some people to call
in. That's a good idea.
And talk about the bands that are super popular that you just hate so much you can't believe they're, you know, you can't believe anybody likes them. How about Hootie?
I'm such a baby, cause the dolphins make me cry. Well, there's nothing I can do. I've been looking for a girl like you.
They were just, I mean, part of the problem is that they were just so bland.
Yeah, and they were very bland.
Everywhere. Remember, for 2 or 3 years, it just seemed like they were the biggest selling band in America. And I think just people went crazy over that.
Remember when I got kicked out of the Grammys and I had to apologize to them?
Yes.
All right, let's talk about some of the K-Rock bands that are on this list. Bands that we played a lot, including the Goo Goo Dolls.
And I don't want the world to see me, because I don't think that they'd understand when everything's made to be broken.
What's your feeling on the Goo Goo Dolls now? Like, I if they came on the radio, I wouldn't be mad, but I also wouldn't listen to
it. That is exactly my theory. My theory is you don't love or hate. They're just generic and okay.
Yeah.
But I don't understand hating them any more than I wouldn't understand somebody who just thought they were the best band in the world either.
Here's what Salad.com says about the Goo Goo Dolls. Interchangeable with Matchbox 20, but technically not Matchbox 20. They are allegedly a different other hated band. Here's one I think we played a little bit of on K-Rock that's also on this list of the most hated acts of the last 30 years. Train.
Hey, soul sister.
I think I feel the same way about Train, which is I don't care about them.
Right.
I can't work up enough spit to hate them. I just don't care about them. All right. Here's one that really ticks me off. This is the one
I agree with then.
No, it's not. Oh. This is a band that we all love. How is this band on this list?
What's my age again?
Right?
No.
Yeah, that's...
Blink 182, there's no way they deserve to be on this list.
No,
is there?
I
am I
that's
wrong?
No, that's ridiculous. But that is one of those bands that's, look, we love them, but they are pretty childish.
Yeah. Pretty juvenile.
And so maybe the older audience does not like them just because it's juvenile. But I don't know. I love them.
Blink 182 began as an attempt to wean tweens off of boy bands, except they soon turned into a self-parody when teenagers began to like them in earnest, is what they say. All right, a couple more. Kevin, I know here's one you're going to agree with. You've been to Las Vegas enough to see the fans of this band walk at the strip. It's Phish.
I feel the feeling I forgot. I'm swimming weightless in the water.
I happen to be a big Phish fan, but it's not somebody that I listen to a lot. I think they're musically super, super talented. But I think that's a band that, like the Grateful Dead before them, has that culture built up around them that I think a lot of people reject. They don't like Phish because they don't like smelly hippies.
Yeah, well, take away the smelly hippies and the weed, and I don't think anyone likes Phish.
Let's do two more on this list. Here's another one that I was a little bit surprised about just because they just seem so inconsequential, and it's another band that K-Rock used to play a lot.
And if you follow them, they'd be out tomorrow, but if the offer shines, you might as well be walking on the sun.
That is Smash Mouth.
Yeah, that's weird because they haven't been around a long time.
And I love that song.
Yeah.
I still love it.
And here's one more, and this one also ticks me off, but I think people are reacting to the personality of the artist more than they are to the
Tate
music.
Tate Swindler?
And she is the beautiful Lana Del Rey.
It's you, it's all for you. Everything I do, tell you all the time. Heaven is a place on earth with you.
She really rubbed people the wrong way when she came out and started doing interviews. Everybody, I mean, there were a lot of people who just were not buying what she was selling.
Look, we had her in,
yes,
and we interviewed her, and she's smoking hot. And I didn't like her.
She was,
really?
She was terrible.
She was a dick.
Yeah, she was.
She's so, don't you think she's talented, though?
Yeah, but that doesn't take away from her dickishness.
Yeah, it was huge.
Obviously.
Well, we'll have to revisit this some other time. There are a lot of other bands on this list we didn't have time to get to, but it is funny how somebody can be tremendously popular, sell out stadiums, millions of records sold, millions of fans, and you just don't get it. I mean, that's the thing about music is you can't, you know, not everybody likes everything, and that's one of the things that's fun about it. But interesting list, I thought.
Obviously.
So the show was in New York City for the MTV Video Music Awards over the past few days, and when Beer Mug wasn't on the red carpet saying stuff like this.
There's nothing like wearing another man's underwear, right?
He was set loose in New York City. He was going out with the K-Rock cameras and microphones, getting into all sorts of trouble. Now, I have not heard this. What's this all about?
This is Are You Gonna Finish That? And it came out of real life because every time we have food, especially me, because Muggs can see me very clearly, he'll be staring at it and looking at it and a couple of glances, you know, he doesn't want me to see him looking. And then all of a sudden he'll start staring. And eventually the question comes, are you going to finish that? Because if there's like two fries left or something, he wants them.
Now,
mind you, he's just had his own food right now.
Yeah, sometimes he's already eaten twice today and he still wants whatever's left on your plate. But is Muggs one of those kids who grew up with a mom who insisted he finish everything on his plate because there are starving children in India? Is he that guy?
Yeah, my mom did encourage that.
Okay, but that has nothing to do with you finishing my food.
I'm just a growing boy still, Kevin.
That's it. You're hungry.
You're definitely growing, I'll tell you that.
So we came up with the idea, why don't we get a hidden camera and follow him around New York City, and he could just walk up to random people and ask them if they're going to finish that. Because
I love it.
Let's be honest, had we not come up with that idea, that's how Muggs would have spent his weekend anyway.
True.
Sure. Why not put a camera on
So he walked up to people in a park. He walked up to a couple of them in a restaurant. He talked to people who were just starting to eat. It's magic. You can see the video at kevinandme.com or krock.com.
Excuse me, sir, are you going to finish that?
I just started.
Damn it.
Quite good. That's
quite good. That guy's rubbing it in.
Listen to how upset Muggs is, by the way.
And then there's this dude.
Cheesecake?
Yeah.
You going to finish it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. Cheesecake? Oh, you going to finish it? All right. And then he's in the park and he walks up to the couple.
Beautiful day, isn't it? Are you going to finish that? Oh, dude, that would be fantastic. I'm starving. Oh, what is this? Mmm. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you.
How about
that?
Would they give you a taste?
Yeah, it was like chicken and rice, like a chicken and rice dish. And to my surprise, he gave it to me, which was so shocking. I didn't think anybody would a stranger coming up to him asking him if they were going to finish their food would give it to me, and they did in New York.
Gave it to him. Gave him the whole thing.
Let me ask you this, Muggs.
My favorite part of that, though, is what is this? Like, he didn't see it and think, ooh, I'd like that. Whatever that guy was eating, he wanted some of.
I don't know how many people you went up to, but is it possible that a lot of people thought you were just a homeless guy and this was you needed a handout because you didn't have money for food and they were just being nice?
He looks homeless.
One couple that I went up to who also gave me their food said, well, you didn't look homeless, so we just thought you were just hungry.
Oh, so it worked in the opposite.
It worked in the opposite direction.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
We went out for drinks on a drink or two, six on Friday night, and there was a table at the bar, and we wanted to sit down at the table, and there was a basket from the people who had sat there before us.
Yeah,
and there was one wing on there.
They left one wing behind. It was untouched. It was a little cold, but it was untouched. Delicious.
Grabbed it, ate it.
Delicious.
Grabbed it.
They didn't eat that one because they had dropped it on the floor and put it back in the basket. That's why.
Well, it was still good. It
peed on it and everything else. You can see the video at KevinandBeanKRock.com.
Excuse me. You guys going to finish that hot dog? You going to finish it? Yeah. Oh, all right.
I like that because really, how hard is it to finish a hot dog?
The guy was like, excuse me?
Right. A hot dog. That's kind of like a couple of bites. Nobody really just gets halfway through and goes, wow, I'm out. I can't.
Right.
I can't do this. So he walks up to, you know how some of the restaurants in New York City have, they're open to the outside. Mm-hmm. So there's a table that's kind of right at the edge of the window and sort of on the sidewalk. And Muggs walks up to this guy.
Are you going to finish that?
Which one?
Your calamari. Are you going to finish that?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay. I'm starving. Oh, you're the man. Oh, thank you, sir.
What's happening?
He straight up gives it to me. And this, I'm still like, I'm perplexed. I'm like, oh my God, people are actually giving me their food.
Well, the stereotype of New Yorkers is they're all dick.
Yeah.
Right. They're not all, of course. And Muggs going up and asking if they're going to finish it.
He said, sure, yeah, come on here. Take some.
Muggs,
if you lived in New York, you'd never have to buy food.
Never.
You could just do this every day.
It'd be great.
You'd be fine.
It'd be awesome.
We're going to do a title fight, by the way, if you want to call in now, 1-800-520-1067. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to Nine Inch Nails at the Troubadour. So call now. We'll play title fight next. Muggs walks up to this guy. This guy hands him his food. Muggs drops it on the floor.
Excuse me, guys. Are you going to finish that?
Yeah. Why?
Starving. Oh, dude. You're the man. Here, I'll... I'm so sorry. God damn it.
All
right. I'm so sorry. Can I buy you another one?
Dude, here, take it, dude.
I felt so bad.
So now he's trying to pay him money, to which I would have said, hey, if you had money, why are you asking for my food? And finally, what we have here is a failure to communicate.
Are you going to finish that?
Finish?
Yeah, are you going to finish? You're going to finish it?
No.
Oh. Yeah?
No.
Oh. Yeah. No?
No.
Yes.
No.
No, you're not going to finish it.
Yeah.
Yeah?
What?
So, are you going to finish that?
We are eating now.
Oh, okay.
They said no, and he's like, oh, you're not going to finish it? Fantastic. And then they were confused, like, what's he talking about?
Look, that guy still made more sense than Beer Mug.
KRock.com, KevinandBean.com. You can watch Beer Mug. Are you going to finish that? And we'll give away those tickets for Nine Inch Nails.
So Nine Inch Nails could pretty much play any venue they wanted
Correct.
In Southern California, and it would sell out because people love them, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. they're playing the Troubadour, which is the size of this room. What's up?
What is up?
I love little shows like this, but they're impossible to get into unless you can win some tickets from the Kevin and Bean Show with the Title Fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
Yeah, you can't buy tickets to this one. You can only win them through K-Rock, and we're playing the title fight right now. And I think our first contestant is going to be Louis or Lewis. I'm not sure how he goes. He's on line four.
Louis Lewis.
How you go?
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
How you go, Louis? Louis or Lewis?
Lewis.
Lewis. Okay.
Lewis. Okay. I don't know if you've heard the title fight before, but let me explain to you and people who are listening. Basically, this is a game where Nine Inch Nails titles are what you're going to be asked to do. You're going to pick a partner here, either Dave or Lisa, in a moment. They're going to give you clues without using any of the words in the title. You're going to come up with as many titles as you can in 45 seconds. If there's one that stumps you, feel free to pass. And if you have time left at the end, you can always come back to it. Again, you're looking for Nine Inch Nails titles. Since we're talking to you first and you have to go first, we're going to give you your choice of partners. Who do you like, Dave or Lisa?
Dave.
All right.
Oh, all right.
Looks like Lewis really wants to go to the show.
The guy who's really tired from New York. Good job.
So, Lindsay, who we're going to talk to next, congratulations. You've won Nine Inch Nails tickets. But let's just go through the motions anyway.
We'll show him, Lewis.
Lewis, you'll see. To play with Dave. All right. 45 seconds on the clock. Good luck.
Ouch. This. When you get pain, you. Lewis?
Yeah.
When you have a injury, it. All right. What?
When you have an injury, help me. I'm in health.
Congratulations, Lindsay.
Yeah, Lindsay, you look good. All right, I'm gonna move on. All right. Something you dig, and it's on top of your body. If you're digging something, what is it? All right, what do you go to communion for? What do you go repent?
Communion?
I hate this guy.
That, you could be the worst contestant we've ever had.
Seriously. I hate this guy.
Okay, these are Lewis, nice. Have you ever heard a Nine Inch Nails song before?
I'm trying to win these tickets for my wife. I kind of cheated. I'm not
going to
lie. I had her
text me
a couple of songs.
Oh. Lewis, when you have pain, what does it do? How? I mean, if you've never heard of Nine Inch Nails, how do you not think of the word hurt?
Yeah, that's true.
And then head like a hole. And head like a hole.
I wish your wife would have called.
Yeah. Your wife should divorce you, is what you
right,
should
hold
do.
On, wait, hold on. That was good screening, by the way.
Hold on, because Lindsay hasn't gotten any yet.
So all Lindsay, let's give it a try. I don't know. I feel Lisa. This might be uncertain.
This might be the first tag team. I might help Lindsay.
You want to do it?
No, go ahead. You go.
So
Lindsay, you heard that Lewis got zero. So all you need is one in 45 seconds. Do you know any Nine Inch Nails songs? You feeling pretty good about this?
I know them all.
There you go.
Okay. All right. Good luck, ladies.
When you don't tell the truth, you are telling a
liar,
and it's a horrible
lie, terrible lie.
There you go.
We got a winner. We got a winner.
Oh my God!
Although for knowing all Nine Inch Nails songs, it took you pretty long to get to that horrible lie.
I'm nervous.
That's all right. You're winning.
Well. You're gonna go and enjoy Trent at the Troubadour.
Nine Inch Nails, Troubadour. Congratulations.
Oh, my God. I'm going to be so late for school, and I don't even care.
Yeah. And Lewis, kill yourself.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's title fight.
Oh, yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
It's maybe the best new show on Comedy Central in a long time. It is called Drunk History. The creators of the program are going to be joining us in studio next hour, talking about the season finale. How funny has that show been?
Awesome.
Oh, it's great. I love it.
Always good.
So funny. Yeah, we'll talk about that on the way. Also, what's up with Chloe? First, though, Ralph Garman has the showbiz beat here for Tuesday morning.
Eminem used Sunday night's MTV Video Music Awards to unveil the street date for his next album, along with its title. It all happened during a commercial for Beats by Dre, those headphones. That's where he dropped the news in. It's called the MMLP2, as in Marshall Mathers LP2. It's going to hit stores on November the 5th. And they also released a little snippet of the first single, Berserk, on his Twitter feed. So we thought you might want to take a listen to hear a little bit brand new Eminem. First time since 2010 that we got a new album from Eminem. Here's a little piece of the first hit single. It hasn't been a hit yet, but it probably will be. Berserk.
Everybody.
Love it.
So at some point next year, Billy Squire is going to go to his mailbox, and there's going to be a check in there for the first time in a long time. And he's going to be like, hey, what happened?
What year was that, the stroke? What year?
What was it, 82 maybe? Yeah. Wow. Three? Something like that, somewhere there?
I don't know how he chose that song, but it sounds good to me.
Because that song rocks, and he knows it.
He rocks it.
That song rocks on its own, and then he comes along and puts more rock on top of it. That's how he chose that song, because it's awesome!
Rock and roll!
Hi, Juicy. Ben Affleck, of course, is going to play Batman in the next Man of Steel film, and now we know who the villain will be. Lex Luthor will be played by none other than Walter White himself, Bryan Cranston. He's proved he could be pretty evil.
He's a genius.
In Breaking Bad, and of course in Total Recall as well. So, Lex Luthor. Pretty good casting.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping for Mark Strong myself, but I think obviously they're going with big stars for this movie, so. No such luck. Everyone's saying, speaking of the VMAs, that Will Smith and his family were reacting to Miley Cyrus's performance when they were aghast in the audience.
Which they clearly were.
Well, they clearly were not. It turns out they were actually reacting to Lady Gaga when that photo was taken.
Oh, is that right?
And when the picture went viral, someone inserted Miley's performance into the picture.
Oh, really?
Into the screen, yeah. So it would appear as if that was the reaction. But in reality, they were reacting to Gaga, which I can see, too. Maybe it was the big cardboard box on her head. Maybe that's why they were reacting. But apparently Miley's people want to set the record straight.
The rest of us looked at that. Looked at Miley like that.
Had they gone to the audience and shown Will Smith and his family, trust me, their reaction would have been the same. And this is good news. Chris Carter's getting back in the television business.
Oh, wow. That is good news.
X-Files creator?
Yeah, X-Files creator Chris Carter is putting together a new show for the AMC cable channel. No details on the show yet, although Chris told the Vulture website that the project is based on a book that owes a lot in tone to the X-Files, and the show will have elements of people leaking items about the government in the same way that Bradley Manning and Edward Snowden have done about various government agencies. So it sounds like more conspiracy, more...
Love it.
...secrets going on, but I'm glad to see he's getting back in the television business. I missed that guy.
Most low-key guy ever.
Yes. And an amazing talent, too. One Direction's new fragrance dropped over the weekend.
Yeah!
You guys pick up your bottle of One Moment... Did you get your One Moment bottles of One Moment?
I tried. It was all sold out.
You laugh, Lisa. You laugh, and you make your little jokes. But I'll have you know, the perfume sold out the moment it hit store shelves.
Wow.
Oh, my God. It's One Direction. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm peeing in my pants. I am shitting all over myself. It is One Direction.
Yeah. Every outlet that carried it, it was sold out the day of.
Gosh.
Can't get One Moment anymore.
Yeah.
Smells like donkey ass.
That's what I've heard. And congratulations to Chadwick Boseman. He played Jackie Robinson in the film 42.
He was great.
He was great in that film. And I think he'll be great in his next role. He's playing James Brown, Godfather of Soul.
Wow.
In a biopic that'll be filmed entirely in Jackson, Mississippi. The director of the film will be Tate Taylor, who directed The Help. Great actor, great director.
Yeah.
Mick Jagger's one of the executive producers of this film.
Really?
Yeah, along with Ron Howard and Brian Grazer's company, Imagine Entertainment. So this has been a project that's been in the works for a long, long time. Looks like we're finally going to get a movie about the Godfather of Soul.
I hope they include the bizarre ending to his life where he died and then they
were just on ice for months.
They wouldn't bury him.
Yeah.
They were hiding him and they were moving him from house to house.
Fighting over his stuff. They were dressing him up for holiday parties. Put a Santa hat on him at one party and then it was like a leprechaun hat for.
It's the strangest thing.
Wasn't he in the, it's been a long time now, but Kevin, wasn't he in the convenience store freezer for a while? Remember there was a store that
was
called a couple times where they literally had him in the back.
Strangest story ever. All different family members fighting over
Chadwick
his body.
Chadwick Boseman better hope there's a lot more dead famous black guys, because his entire career apparently is going to be playing
so
famous
far.
Dead black guys. Today's celebrity birthdays. Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee-wee Herman, is 61 years old today. Bobo, percussionist of Cypress Hill, is 45. Tony Cannell, a buddy from No Doubt, 43 years old. Actress Sarah Chalk
is 37. And Aaron Paul of Breaking Bad celebrates his 34th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We're going to talk to future Kevin. That's right, our own Kevin Ryder of the Kevin and Bean Show in the future later on today. We got drunk history later this hour. And
aren't those the same?
They kind of are. And another chance for you to be at the exclusive K-Rock Nine Inch Nails show at the Troubadour. We'll give you a chance to win those just after 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Khloe Kardashian and Lamar Odom have separated following allegations that the NBA player has been battling a hardcore drug addiction for years.
Well, years, then TMZ, I kind of get her leaving.
According to TMZ, he has been battling a crack cocaine addiction for at least 2 years.
That's serious.
We were talking about this yesterday with Dax in the TMZ newsroom, Kevin, and maybe you have some thoughts on this. How did he play basketball professionally with all the drug screening that goes on in the league and not get found out if he was doing crack cocaine?
I don't think he's played in 2 years. Like, remember,
oh, really?
He got sent to Dallas, remember?
Right.
And then Dallas kicked him down to their minor league team. Then he wasn't playing for anyone for a little while.
Okay.
So I don't know that he's actually been in the NBA and been drug tested.
Well, Khloe was spotted yesterday leaving the gym. And by the way, that's the most surprising thing in the article to me. Khloe's at the gym. Without her wedding ring, another sign that many think that her 4-year marriage to Lamar Odom is finally over. We thought we'd find out what the latest is right from the horse's mouth. No offense, Khloe. She joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi.
F you.
You know, I'm not calling you a horse. I'm just, the expression is, let's hear it from the source,
F
the newsmaker.
F you and shame on you.
Shame on us, Khloe. Why?
Yes.
Why?
It's hard to sit here and listen to people talk about my family like this. Shame on you.
Okay, well, you did tweet that. I guess you're upset with everybody having an opinion.
All right, but Khloe, did we say anything that was inaccurate?
Yes.
What?
It's all inaccurate.
Everything is inaccurate.
All of it. All of it is inaccurate.
Okay, are you and Lamar splitting up?
We're currently separated.
Okay.
But we're working on things to work them out.
They
did not have a cocaine problem. He was not smoking crack cocaine.
Oh, he wasn't? What's his drug of choice then?
He was smoking Razzles.
Razzles is a candy. I think that's very different.
Yes. He would break them up and put them in a pipe and smoke them.
Well, he does love candy. That's one thing we know about Lamar.
Also mainlining M&Ms. Any idea how hard it is to get an M&M into your vein?
I don't.
How dedicated he was.
Okay. Sounds like it. So where is he now? He was actually missing for a few days. A lot of us were very concerned, but is he staying in a hotel?
According to his people, we haven't spoken recently, but he's fine. He's holed up in a hotel with a case of Milky Ways and another case of Snickers, bathing in a chocolate bath. He's fine.
Oh, wow.
But no crack.
No. The only crack Lamar loves is mine.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
What's the worst kind of crack?
That sounds sweaty. So do you want to get back together? Do you believe he can get clean and you two can be happy?
Yes, we're very much in love.
You are?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, some people say that there shouldn't be marriages like ours, you know, between species. But I say love will conquer all, and I'm going to stand by my man.
Wasn't there a time when another woman came forward and said she'd been having an affair with him or something?
Oh, I don't believe those other women.
Okay.
Why would Omar, nope, why would Lamar, Lamar Odom.
Right.
Why would he want that when he can have all of this?
Well, I think that answers itself.
I'm going to go over to the mirror and take a look.
All right.
At myself nude. I'm nude right now.
No.
We don't want to talk to you nude.
Look in the mirror.
Oh.
When you're like that.
It's best if you don't look, Khloe.
Oh, look at that. It's a thing of beauty.
Don't look.
Oh, I'm like a sculpture.
Well.
Really?
Well, like if Picasso was a sculptor, I'm like one of those.
Right.
Are you looking in a mirror or at a painting?
Oh, my God. I'm gorgeous. Just look at this body. Just.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's sad. Body identity issues. Khloe.
Khloe.
I really should have shaved this morning.
So it went from an internet sensation to a big television hit on Comedy Central. We are talking Drunk History. The creators of that show, Derek Waters and Jeremy Connor, join us in studio now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, boys.
You.
How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. Thanks for having us.
Bean, you were not here last time.
Is this drunk interview? Is that what we're doing today?
No, this
oh,
is...
Oh, yeah, were, you don't know about this.
You weren't here last time, but Derek, permanently, sort of like me, sounds drunk.
I was born this way. I didn't ask.
What?
Right before I came out, I didn't have choices of what voice I could have.
But every time he talks, you go, that guy's a little drunk.
Really?
Yeah.
So when you get pulled over for speeding, you're in a lot of trouble, even if you haven't had a drop to drink.
Yeah, usually I just nod.
Well, I apologize that I was on vacation last time you guys came in, but everybody's been talking about the show. Everybody's been watching the show, and I'm so glad we have a chance to have you come back to talk about the finale tonight. But for folks who weren't with us last time, Drunk History is not a 2013 thing. This goes back many, many years. Take me back to the beginning.
1842.
Wow.
No, 2007 is when it started, yeah. And we were just doing it for the internet.
Yeah, we actually didn't even start on the internet. We just did it for your live show. And you were doing a live show at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater on Saturday nights, and we just made it for fun.
Wow. And who was in the first one?
Michael Cera, the kid from Juno.
Sure.
You know who Michael Cera is.
Yeah, Michael Cera was a good or still is a great friend of ours, and he was nice enough to do it. And I think that's why people watched it, and luckily the idea – people liked as well, so then Jack Black wanted to do it, and yeah,
that's crazy.
And then you're off and running. What was the first episode about with Mr. Cera?
That was about Alexander Hamilton and the duel between him and Aaron Burr.
And was this, as it seems to be the case with some of the later episodes, is this a topic that he was already real familiar with and passionate about?
Exactly. Yeah. Mark Gagliardi was the narrator, and we just asked him, what's a moment of history you think more people need to know about? He's like, well, I just saw this documentary about Alexander Hamilton. I would love to talk about it. And he did, and that was about 8 hours of shooting.
Yeah, it was about 8 hours of him talking about how great meritocracy was for
really?
Most of it. We were like, what is this?
Yeah,
and
this
then
is
at the
done.
Very end of it, he was like, oh, and then let me tell you about the duel. The duel was really great.
He was drunk for 8 hours?
And, yeah, but it didn't get great until a half hour later.
So all
the
these people,
end.
Here's the thing that I like about Drunk History is that it's accurate.
Yeah.
It's true. It's, all fact checked.
It's fact. It's fact. It's history.
I mean, you do learn things. I've learned many things.
But
it's
the person talking about it is drunk, and you usually try to find, like you said, something that they're passionate about that more people should know about.
Right, because there's nothing funnier or a drunk person that doesn't get more excited when they talk to you if you don't know a story that they know.
Right, right.
And the they're comedy so is that they're it. Drunk, but the goal is that we're really trying to make a history show.
Tell Bean because he didn't hear last time.
When we pitched it to the History Channel.
When you pitched this show to the History Channel, what their response was.
Yeah, we like the idea, but one note. Do they have to be drunk? Well, yeah. Then we're just making your
the
show.
History Channel wanted them to take the drunk part out. How's that a show?
What's the hilarious. Secret? And I know everybody is different, but is there a formula about the right amount of drunk you have to be to make an outstanding episode?
Definitely.
When you aren't trying to be funny and you just want to tell a story, and I don't know. It's very hard. Everyone's so different, but it's to the point where they're just needing to get it out, and they're trying as hard as they can. Usually it's about 4 or 5 drinks.
Now that you've done it for a while, do people start, like, when they start drinking, they probably start to try and be funny, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
then that's stage one.
Yeah,
stage
you have to skip past that.
Yeah, you got to get past that.
Okay.
And then the second stage is, wait, have I told you the thing I've told you 10 times in the past 5 minutes? Then we know we're getting close.
And that's still not...
It's just in between that and stage three, which is, I'm terrible, this is awful, I don't know why you guys picked me. So you got to get in between that.
Wow.
And we thought Spielberg had problems making movies.
Yeah.
A whole other level of difficulty. Who are your narrators? Are they all friends of yours, or are these people that you got to hire?
All friends. That would be a very strange audition if we
totally.
I would like to get drunk with you and hear you talk about history. No, they're all our friends, and They just so happen to be in comedy. We picked them because they're funny and because comedians know how to tell a beginning, middle, and end to a story, which we've tried with people that aren't performers, and it's a lot harder.
It's very difficult.
You just hear facts. People are always like, why don't you get real historians? That would be hilarious. Like, it would be really boring, I promise you. That's why we fell asleep in school.
Right. That's why we didn't learn it the first time.
They just tell you facts and not story. So, yeah.
And you mentioned Michael Cera was in the first one, and then Jack Black wanted to do it. And I imagine, especially since it's been on TV, you probably have – every day you go into the office, there's probably messages from actors who want to be on it, right? I would imagine.
We've been very lucky. We've been very lucky.
The recreations are so accurate. They're so funny because they're accurate. If the drunk person is stuttering,
yeah,
the actor stutters.
Right, yeah.
That's
yeah.
genius.
Or hiccuping or sneezing. Yes, I love the sneezing.
Sneezing is our favorite.
It's so funny. Yeah.
Mike Gagliardi, who's also on tonight's episode, he went into that sneezing fit for probably 5 minutes by itself. We had to cut that way down.
Why would you cut it? That would have been a great
Jason
segment.
Jason Ritter, I think. Right, yeah. It stuck mm-hmm. in my head. He was the one that had to keep sneezing in the middle of like serious stuff.
Yeah, he's got a Ku Klux Klan outfit
That's
on,
right.
and he has to sneeze.
I was surprised because one thing we know about Comedy Central is they're cheap asses. I was surprised at how big budget some of your recreations are.
Well, that's some trickery. That's all credit to our crew. And Jeremy and Blake, our DP, Blake McClure, and everyone, that we didn't have any money. We have the same amount of money, I would say, as the original, like, Reno 911. Is that a good?
I don't know how much.
Either but way, we've been
we very, don't have that much, yeah. but they've been so, very generous, but not, you know, it's not.
Well,
it's
you
not,
guys
it's
do
not
a
Game
great
of Thrones money.
We're right, broke.
Right.
We don't
you,
have
You make
any.
It look great. Like, for instance, the Alamo episode. You don't get to go to the Alamo and film that. That's just somebody made an Alamo out of cardboard for you, right?
Santa Clarita, right?
Yeah, there is. That's the thing is, well, all of a sudden we start going to these locations and there's these places that exist that
aren't very far.
For what? Yeah. For movie shoots or something?
Yeah, for movie shoots. I mean, this thing had been built 20 years ago and was completely falling apart.
Perfect.
Nobody had shot there for a very long
time.
Wait,
there's a fake Alamo in the Santa Clarita Valley?
Yeah, there's a... I mean, it's a little Mexican mission. I don't know if it's
That's
specifically
awesome.
The Alamo, but...
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I do notice, like, Santa Ana, in the real story, had thousands of troops and you had, like, 10. But at least you had guys... at least yeah. you had guys in what looked like Mexican uniforms. What's, I mean, you're trying.
Those uniforms are brilliant. They're actually Dickie jackets. Remember that?
Dickies? Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Just like white pieces of fabric just around
right.
them.
Yeah.
It's so cheap. It was so cheap.
The
and it really
show
looked
business.
Incredible.
It
I was
did.
So
it looked
surprised.
Really,
it looked good. Yeah.
I thought it was going to look a lot worse.
Jankier,
we
right.
Like, yeah, yeah. It's all right. It'll be funny. They'll be wearing khakis and sneakers.
Right.
But you actually don't even see it. It just looks like, oh, wow. It looks huge.
Derek and Jeremy are here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about Drunk History, their show, which has its season finale tonight on Comedy Central at 10 o'clock. We want to talk about tonight's episode, talk about some of the things you guys have planned for the future. And we'll talk more with our guests in a moment right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on camera. Derek Waters and Jeremy Connor in studio with us. They are the creators of Drunk History. You guys both have a long history of comedy even before this show came together. But how did you meet each other?
We met through Simon Helberg, a buddy of ours, yeah. through Second
very
City.
Funny.
Yes, he's very, very funny. And I was in a sketch group called Ha Ha Fresh, not to brag.
Which is H-A-J-A, which I didn't know for years. I realized it was much funnier when I read it.
Haja?
Yeah, I mean, now I understood the joke.
Point taken. I get it. Yeah, we met at Second City, Los Angeles, through mutual friends. And Jeremy was an editor for a show I worked on called Derek and Simon with Simon and Bob Odenkirk. And yeah, we've been working together for a long time.
And has Comedy Central given you the good news yet about a season two for Drunk History yet?
No.
What's up with that?
No. What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
What's happening?
Do you know anyone that works there that you
no.
could send a text to?
No, I wish. They won't take our texts. I think that's all. Yeah, we have that kind of power.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this show had a built-in audience because of its appearance on the internet before it hit TV, but it seemed to me like this is one that everybody was talking about after the first episode on TV. I mean, it seemed like it really had a lot of goodwill, a lot of word of mouth. Has that been have the ratings reflected that? My impression is that it's been very popular.
It's doing well. It's hard because it doesn't have a lead-in. Our lead-in is repeats of Tosh.0, so people that want to see the show are just there to see our show. They weren't inspired by the show previous, but hey, we have a show on TV. We're not complaining, and people are watching it, and we haven't had that many complaints.
So. Let's talk about some of the guest stars that you have that recreate these stories. Like tonight, for example, is it's Wild 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 West theme?
See, you do what I do.
That's
what I do. Wild Wild West.
Yep,
it's our favorite movie.
Will
Smith ruined it for all of us. The Wild West.
The Wild West
is the theme.
It was the theme. We got Billy the Kid. Great story of Billy the Kid. Teddy Roosevelt forming the Rough Riders. And the Alamo, yeah. And through it, this one I would say is the closest of all the episodes this season that the closest to how we originally pitched the show, where I'm trying to interact with people in between the sketches.
Right.
And learning how to live in the Wild West. And right. I get to shoot a gun.
I saw
a lot of guns.
Shot a 50 caliber.
50 cal, doesn't that knock you on your ass almost?
Oh, you saw.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah, yeah. It's known to shoot down planes.
Oh my
and they
God.
Gave you one.
They gave me one.
Did they think you were drunk?
I mean, I don't know anyone who hasn't thought that.
Right,
when first met
but the guy that's giving you a 50 cal.
Don White, yeah.
That's a different thing. Like, maybe that guy should check.
He's getting a paycheck, and there's cameras around. There's proof if anything went wrong.
All right.
But no, yeah, so tonight's very exciting.
Yeah,
it's my favorite.
Yeah, and we brought back Jake Johnson, who was just doing a promo when I was driving over here for you guys.
Yes.
Jake Johnson was also in the first episode ever, along with Michael Cera. He plays Aaron Burr.
Right.
So it all comes full circle.
And he inspired the idea of getting drunk.
Who else do you have on tonight that's recreating?
Horatio Sanz.
Chris Parnell.
Nice.
We got Andy Daly. The man
is Teddy Roosevelt.
Is Teddy Roosevelt?
Rob Hubel and Tim Sharp. Rob Hubel plays Pat Garrett. It's an awesome.
Love Rob Hubel.
Billy the Kid story is great.
Kevin, is this the episode that you have the song from?
Oh yeah, yeah. The song of Billy the Kid.
This is really great. So when we were shooting Billy the Kid, Preston Flagg, our narrator, I asked him, "Can you sing a song as if you were Billy the Kid?" And well, he just made this song up. And so here in this song, know that. You're going to see a music video during the story. Is that making sense?
Yeah, we make a music video.
For this song, yeah.
So Billy the Kid, he was an outlaw, and he shot Joe Grant, who had shot him in the jaw.
Is there anything better than hearing a drunk guy sing?
No.
Very little.
It makes sense.
In a farmhouse, but they killed a horse instead because they thought he was the one.
And he's so endearing. He's so serious that this is exactly how this song should sound.
Now, wait. But you told him that you wanted him to be Billy the Kid.
Right.
And that he couldn't get his head around that?
That did not make sense. That did not make sense to him.
You want some more?
Yeah.
Billy the Kid was shot in the dark. And so dramatic.
And that's Billy the Kid.
Yeah.
That's Billy the Kid.
So good.
I'm sure this has happened. Somebody has gotten too drunk to be able to film them and use them, right?
Many times. And a bunch of the narrators that you see this season, we had to shoot two nights of because sometimes it went too far.
Yeah. Sometimes it just gets too late also. There is this weird thing that happens where you're like, I don't know if it's that they're too drunk or that it's 4 a.m, but they're asleep.
So let's suspend things for the night.
Out.
Come back. Well, we've got to make sure they're all right before we leave.
It's a really weird sweet spot that you have to find.
Also, we realized that
a brief one.
Adrenaline, when you get excited, like it makes sense when you go to a concert, you're so excited that you don't realize you're drunk because you're so excited.
Right.
And that happens a lot of times with people that we have never done these with, where you get there and they're so excited and they just keep drinking. Like, I don't think I'm drunk enough, but they're just nervous and like trying to drink.
Right.
And then they sit down like, so tell me about that. And then they're like, oh God. it's not fun to watch.
Is the puke count pretty high?
Yeah, not all of it's documented, you know.
Thank
because
God.
I never found it funny, but I do find it funny to see
Wait
someone puke and then tell you a story. Continue to tell you a story.
So they just butt and then continue with what they were saying before?
Yeah, no one's puked and said, I got to go to bed. They're like, right. Okay, now I got to go back to work.
That's amazing.
Just get started. Right. Your executive producers from Funny or Die, Will Ferrell and Adam McKay, are you trying to get them on Drunk History too?
Many times.
Yeah, they've been doing Anchorman 2. They weren't in town for the shooting of this, but hopefully... Right.
If we get picked up, we would
love.
They really want to. I mean, Will has many times we were trying to figure out some stuff.
And he played Abraham Lincoln in our short. That's
Sundance Award winning short film.
Well, every once in a while,
best short film at Sundance.
That's every once in a while, a show comes along that we just know is right in the pocket for our Kevin and Bean listeners. I mean, they definitely are down with the drunk part. Most of them aren't down with the history part just because they haven't seen the show yet. But it's perfect for them. They're going to love it. And the season finale is going to be tonight on Comedy Central. And then they're going to continue to rerun all the other episodes, I imagine, throughout the fall. Is that right?
Billy kid, he was an outlaw. They shot Joe Grant. They shot him in the jaw.
It's true. Also he did shoot him in the jaw.
That is true. Also available on iTunes and video on demand. Derek, Jeremy, thanks for coming to the Kevin and Bean Show again. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you so guys much for having us.
You bet. Comedy Central, for God's sakes, give these boys a call. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for yet another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Before I beat you with Showbiz, I'm going to kiss you with tickets.
Wow.
I have passes to the K-Rock screening of the new Vin Diesel film, Riddick.
Yay!
The third in the Riddick franchise. Of course, first was Pitch Black.
You're not afraid of the dark, are you?
That's your Vin Diesel?
That's all I got, man.
Well, don't do that.
Okay.
Ever.
Sorry, back to you.
Pitch Black, of course, was the first in the Chronicles of Riddick. And then Riddick, now the third in the franchise. Okay, one more time.
You're not afraid of the dark, are you?
That's all I got, man.
I don't know who it sounds like, but it doesn't sound anything like Vin Diesel.
Come on, that's pretty accurate.
I'm going down.
I'd say that's 99%.
You're right. I'm sorry. It's my bad. It's 99% perfect. Pair of passes to the K-Rock screening of Riddick is happening September the 4th at the AMC Burbank 16. Riddick, of course, is in theaters on Friday, September the 6th. So you'll see it a full 48 hours before your friends, and you can just lord that over them and mock them over and over and over again for 48 hours. And then the gig is up.
Just call them up and spoil it.
1-800-520-1067. Call now. I have 5 pairs of tickets, so the first 5 callers through at that number will win the tickets. I paused for a minute because I was looking at the cast. What an amazing cast this has. Katie Sackhoff, who I love.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
From the original, not the original, but the reboot of Battlestar Galactica. But you watch Longmire at all?
No, I don't know that show.
It's a Western.
No,
it's a modern Western. It's about a sheriff in a small town in, I believe it's New Mexico, I want to say.
Hmm. What channel? The Ralph Garman made-up channel?
A&E. An original drama on A&E starring Katie Sackhoff, who plays his deputy. And she's kind of a fish out of water because she's from Philadelphia originally, but now she's a deputy in a small Western town. And she's great on this show.
I don't care about that show, but we should have her in.
I'm telling you something. It's one of those shows that you'll say, I never heard of it. Then you'll start watching it, and you're like, okay, now I'm hooked.
All right.
Longmire is the name of it.
Longmire.
Very entertaining. And Carl Urban is also in this film. Who I love Carl Urban. You know him as Dredd. Most recently, he was Judge Dredd. He played He plays Bones in all the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movies.
Okay.
Very talented guy. So, a lot going for it. This movie's got a lot going for it. Not the least of which is Kevin's impression.
And you're see in the dark. You're not afraid of the dark.
Ow!
Wow. What's that about?
Ow!
Mugs, don't punish us with the volume.
Sorry. What did I do to deserve that?
Sorry.
I hate beer mugs so much. You don't know how much more you can hate beer mug until you spend 5 days with him on location. We forget that we get to leave him at the end of the day here at work.
Right. That's true.
And it was such a blessing that we just took for granted for so long. And then you're in another city with him and you see him all the time.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
it's not fantastic.
It's a little tough.
Opposite
I gotta be
of
honest.
Fantastic. Kevin had to leave early. That's my, he couldn't stand seeing Jeremiah any longer. Had to get out of New York City early. Couldn't spend the whole time that we were supposed to spend in there.
How you doing, Juicy?
How you doing, Juicy? Eminem took advantage of the MTV Video Music Awards to announce his new single and when his new album was going to drop and what the name of it was. We saw it during a commercial for Beats by Dre, the headphone line. The new album will be called MMLP2. As in Marshall Mathers LP2, of course, a reference to the critically acclaimed Marshall Mathers LP from 2000, which gave us such hits as Real Slim Shady and The Way I Am and Stan. It was his biggest record by far. And now the second Marshall Mathers LP will hit stores on November the 5th. And he also gave us a little taste via Twitter, Eminem did, of the first single that will be coming off that album called Berserk. Here it is.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Getting on
very, very different style for Eminem. Really going a different way with it.
Now this is it.
This house until we knock it down. So turn the volume loud. I said it's been to the AM. So baby, make just like cake. Better let yourself out. Let yourself go. I said it before we kick the bucket. Life's too short to not go.
Stroke me.
Hmm. Love that.
Nice mashup right there. Bill Murray's going to be guest star on David Letterman's show this week.
Always fun.
It's Dave's 20th anniversary on Thursday night, so Bill Murray will be stopping by. Bill is looms large in the legend of the David Letterman show. He was the very first guest to be on Dave's show when it premiered back on CBS in 1993, but he was also the first guest on Dave's show back in 1982 as well.
Wow.
So they always have him on for every anniversary show, and it's always one of my favorite episodes of
he's
David
a nut
Letterman.
Job.
What night is that, Ralph?
It's Thursday night.
Thursday
night will be Dave's 20th anniversary on CBS. And I feel like I watched him on NBC for 20 years, for God's sake. How long has it been on television?
Wow. And Bill Murray really could be the most interesting man in the world in real life.
Yeah.
Just because he's so weird and odd.
But he's also brilliant and funny.
He is. Right. Talented.
And seemingly very nice. He's got really everything going on.
Is that an agent? You have to call him at a payphone?
It's not a payphone.
Yes, it's a payphone.
It's not a payphone.
It's a random payphone you have to call him on.
It's his own number, but you have to jump through some hoops to get that number.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
He does march to his own drummer, that's for sure.
I just love that you can't get in touch with him at all, and he shows up, you know, the day the movie starts. You're not allowed to talk to him at all before that. If he agrees to do the movie, that's it. He just shows up and he's ready to work, but there's no conversation ahead of time.
Yeah.
I'm weird.
Friends with the guys who wrote Zombieland.
Oh, really?
Paul and Rhett are the guys who created the Joe Schmo Show, and then they went on to write the screenplay for Zombieland. And they were trying to get Bill Murray, who, of course, ended up appearing in that movie.
Spoiler alert.
If you haven't seen it by now, screw you. He appears in the movie. And they were trying to get him initially for that. And they had to go through this process.
That's what I'm saying. Call and pay phone.
But they were able to. He was interested enough to take a meeting.
Wow.
To sit down with these guys. And Rhett said, you don't know what pressure is like until you have to tell your movie to Bill Murray and try to make it sound funny to him.
Wow.
How are you going to make something funny sound to the funniest man on the planet? Can you imagine the stress of trying to say, okay, so here's what happens, and then you have to tell that story and you have to try to get him to like it.
Because you want to impress him. You don't want to seem like you're wasting his time or that you're
an idiot. You want
him
to do the movie, more importantly.
Right.
You want to get him, and this is your only shot. You got him for, 10 minutes.
He's the kind of guy that would just stand up and walk out, too.
Yeah.
Even if he just found it funny, he could like your idea, but if he finds it funny, he'll walk out.
So, but apparently it worked, because yes, spoiler alert, he is in the movie.
Way to ruin it for me, dick.
Today's celebrity birthdays. How you doing, Juicy? Aaron Paul is 34 years old today of Breaking Bad fame. Of course, news today that his Breaking Bad buddy, Bryan Cranston, will now play Lex Luthor in the next Superman movie. You guys tell me how that is.
Oh, Ralph.
Oh, you're going to go.
Ben Affleck.
Yeah, but you can't
but
not.
But Ben Affleck.
I know,
but I'm saying Ben Affleck.
I hear you.
You don't hear me because I'm saying Ben Affleck.
We do hear you, but you're going to hear a lot of other things between now and 2015 when that movie comes out that are going to make you want to see it.
Or is Ben Affleck going to be in it?
both. He's going to be in it, and you're going to have to go.
Carl Urban, I was just talking about, he would have been a great Batman.
That ship has sailed, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
Not if our petition gets to the White House.
It's Affleck.
Sarah Chalk's 37 years old today. Tony Cannell, no doubt, also would have been a great Batman. 43 years old today. Bobo of Cypress Hill, also would have been a better Batman.
Sure.
45 years old. Paul Rubens, also would have been a better Batman.
Oh, that would I so go see that.
The Joker!
Okay, stop!
I'll hit you with a batarang!
He's 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks a lot for tuning in here on a Tuesday morning. Upcoming guest this week on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, including our regulars Adam Carolla tomorrow and Dr. Drew on Thursday, include comedian Jim Jeffries, who will be here on Thursday, and Meta World Peace. Former Los Angeles Laker Meta World Peace is going to be joining us on Friday morning. He is doing stand-up, you guys.
What?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding?
Of course he is.
And every day, including this morning, just after 9 o'clock, we'll get you into the Troubadour to see Nine Inch Nails. I have a question, Kevin, for you. And I was thinking about this because Nine Inch Nails is one of the very few things that Kevin loves. There's a short list of things that Kevin loves.
Yes.
A couple of musical acts like Rage Against the Machine, Eminem, Nine Inch Nails, you love. I don't think you'll ever change your mind on those.
Right.
Things. Ice Cream, I think you'll always love.
Correct.
But it seems like everything else in the world you hate. We always talk about why does Kevin hate and then fill in the blank. Because you hate more random things than anyone I've ever met.
It's not random. I hate things for a reason. Like, for example.
Like a piece of paper you might hate. Or
no.
A dog you might hate.
No.
Or the sun you might hate.
No,
it
just
seems
ridiculous.
Like everything in the world that you come in contact with, it seems like you hate.
There was a painting in our office, and it was absurd. It was just dumb. It was just stupid.
By the way, that's another thing that's great about Kevin is everything he hates is absurd.
It looked like a drop cloth for somebody that was actually doing a painting of something. Like, it's just nonsense.
It's actually a really good painting.
It's nonsense.
It's not at all.
If I could do it with butt juice, it's nonsense.
You can't.
I could.
No way.
Oh, it was just ridiculous.
Lisa, what's Kevin missing about this painting? What's good about this painting?
It's modern art. It's sort of a Pollock kind of piece, and there's
which
no
which means somebody just threw paint
at
it.
All.
A 2-year old
could have
done it.
Who is very successful in this kind of art, and it takes him months to finish a painting. I mean,
I could do that painting
names,
in
and he has
35
images
seconds.
There's just no way.
I could. It's stupid.
With butt juice?
just as an example. Yes.
All right. So here's my question. This is why I bring this up, Kevin. Has there ever been a time where you have, in your youth perhaps, thought something was stupid and hated it, and then as you got older, realized, wow, I guess I just wasn't very open-minded about that topic. I guess I was wrong. I guess I hated on it unnecessarily. And now that I have some maturity and some distance, I can see that that thing wasn't as stupid and as absurd as I thought it was.
No.
So once you hate something, that's your opinion for life, and
well,
you'll
no,
never
I mean,
change
if
your mind.
Something comes along, like for example, wine drinkers. F you. 99% of you don't have any idea what you're talking. Sure, there's the 1% that does, but they bring a glass of wine to the table and they let you taste it, and then you go, "Oh yes, that's good." Have you ever sent it back? No. You know why? Because you don't know what's good wine and what's not good wine.
Well, you only send
F
it
all of you
back if it's turned.
Has there ever been a food or a movie or a city that you hated in your youth and then later on you thought, wow, I was wrong about that?
No.
Okay.
I mean,
Not that you can think of.
I'm really accurate.
Okay. All right. So when you got your mind made up, you got your mind made
up. Well, yeah, for good reason.
Well, you'll be happy to know there's new technology available, Kevin, and we thought this would be an interesting experiment. Now, we've never dialed this number before, but apparently there is a way to contact future Kevin. There is a way that we can talk to you in the future and find out what your life ends up being like and the types of things that you like and don't like. And see
I don't like that, where this is going.
And see if that changes anything. Let's can we dial that up, Beer Mug? Can you hit that button? Because I think future Kevin here is something that'll be illuminating for us. Whoa! Wow, fancy technology.
Hello?
What is this, Drew?
Is this future Kevin?
Yes, it's Kevin. I'm not future Kevin. You're past Kevin.
Right. I have past Kevin right here from the Kevin and Bean Show. We're on the radio on K-Rock. How are you, future Kevin?
You can't talk to me from the past. That's stupid.
We are calling you from 2013. We are talking to you from the past right now.
That is absurd. I can't even do that. It's not even happening.
Well, it is happening. It's just you may not understand.
Did you hear my Vin Diesel impression?
You still do the Vin Diesel impression?
I love you, can't turn off the lights, I'm just in the dark. This is good. I'm the good part of us.
Okay, something's haven't changed. Look, present-day Kevin seems to hate more things that he likes. We're wondering what that's like for future Kevin.
That's the way it should be, because things are stupid. And it's better to hate them than to understand them. Stupid facts.
Are there any things that I've changed my mind in the time since 2013 and with the time you are? Yes. Could I try that again?
Nope, everything's the same pretty much. Only now I'm in the parking lot. We're trying to get my prescription, and I was wrong. It's okay to drive around parking lot.
Oh, see, because Kevin hates the old people at the CVS who are trying to park to get in for their prescription.
They're not trying to park. They're just waiting to die.
We're just trying to get our drugs, our future drugs, drugs of the future.
Now, I have to ask you about
this. Am I taking a lot of drugs in the future?
I'm taking lots of drugs. But I can't find the one to make me not say your time long here, 2013, your go-for time. I can't find that drug. Fix me.
We talk a lot about how Kevin finds all older women ugly. If
yes,
a woman is,
all ugly.
And I was wondering if that's still the case. Now that you're much older as future Kevin, are you starting to appreciate older women?
No, the ugly. Is it the last woman on Earth?
It is not. No, there's still younger women, too.
Ugly Jennifer Aniston. Ugly Megan Fox. Oh, Megan Fox is so ugly. She's so old and ugly.
What are you talking about, me?
Megan Fox is so old now. She's ugly. Ugly.
You can't argue, Kevin. That's you. We're talking to you. This is apparently how you feel.
Angelina Jolie is so ugly now.
Yeah, that's sad.
She's old.
Right. She can't be any good if she's old.
No, I'm not like young girls that we just grow them on a farm here. In the future. We grow hot girls on a hot girl farm.
That sounds like a pretty good future, I think. I'm looking forward to this.
It's in Vegas. We all go to the hot girl farm. Party space bus!
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're all going to get on my party space bus and go to Vegas.
Is there still a Kevin and Bean show in the future, Kevin?
Oh, so stupid. I hate that show. Ridiculous. We still do the show, you and me, Bean. But now you're just a brain in a jar.
That sounds great. I got my wish.
One organ at a time they took away from you. Until you're just a head, and then they had to take your eyes. And now you're just the brain.
And that's all that's left. Oh, well, that's fine.
The brain, and the brain is creepy.
Yeah, it's creepy.
The brain
still
is so creepy.
Right.
But is the brain still smarter than me?
Oh, stupid. You're so stupid. Oh, you're absurd. That's an absurd question. Are you the last person on Earth? I could, yes.
Tame Impala on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 25 minutes after 8 o'clock.
They are playing at the Greek with the Flaming Lips at the end of October. Tickets on sale now. I like that band. Red Hot Chili Peppers coming up, also of Monsters and Men, and your 9 Inch Nails tickets just after 9. Ralph brought an interesting story in the other day. I don't know what I would do if this had happened to me, but a guy in Ohio ordered a gun safe online.
Okay.
Safe, as you imagine, to arrive empty is what he expected. He's going to put his guns in it.
Sure.
Well, he opened it up.
It's a pretty big safe, too, if you're going to put guns in. It's pretty big.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. He opened it up, and it had in it $425,000 worth of marijuana inside the safe. Which he did not pay for. He thought the safe was going to arrive empty. It came in with tons, not literally tons, although these days I guess I could say literally tons.
Sure.
It came in with a lot of marijuana, $425,000 worth of tightly wrapped marijuana bricks inside.
What do you mean you don't know what you would have done?
What would Bean do with it? What would I do with it?
I just feel
give
like
it to me, both of you.
I just feel like bad things happen to good people, and I just see showing up at the police station and saying, "Hey, I have all this marijuana at my house. What up?" And then somehow I'm in trouble.
Yeah, that you try to turn it in, and then they arrest you.
That would be my fear. That would be my fear.
That's well, he why did. You lock yourself in your house and you just smoke right through it.
He
give
did.
It to Kevin Smith.
He did. Oh, that's a great idea. He did contact law enforcement about that. But it kind of got us on the topic because there have been a bunch of other stories recently of people who pay something for something and they expect they're only going to get what they think they paid for. And in reality, the thing turns out to be worth way more. This was a surprise for him because there was something inside the safe. But we've seen a bunch of stories lately, including this one. Somebody bought a bowl at a yard sale for $3. It turned out to be a rare Chinese bowl that just sold at auction for $2.2 million.
Wow.
How's that for an investment, by the way?
Well, one that you didn't know you were making. It's probably the best.
So you buy something for $3, it ends up being worth over $2 million. We want to take your calls, by the way, if you've ever bought anything that turned out to be way more valuable. Maybe you you got something off of Craigslist or something like that, and it ended up being, you paid $25 for it, it ended up being worth $500. We want to hear, those stories. It usually didn't work out that way, but sometimes it does.
It usually works out the other way, where you pay $6 and it's worth $3.
Here's a guy who bought a $5 drawing on eBay that turned out to be an original Andy Warhol that was worth over $2 million.
Wait, the person selling it on eBay didn't have any idea that it was an Andy Warhol?
No, because it was when he was a kid. He was 10 years old when he drew it. It just looks like a kid's drawing.
Wow.
The guy bought it for $5, ended up being worth $2 million. So many stories like that. I don't know if our listeners have ever had any stories like that. Maybe you bought a classic car that somebody had no idea what it was worth, for instance. You paid $400 for it, turns out to be super rare and worth $5,000. Maybe you buy and sell records. I mean, there's a lot of things that people trade that, you're kind of guessing what the worth is. But it's interesting when it works out in your favor.
Here's a story where they bought a container or a box at a garage sale, mm-hmm. and it had a $23,000 wedding ring in it.
Wow.
You know what they did? Returned it.
How stupid, right?
It's absurd. It's absurd. Why would you return it? It's worth money. All right, so we want to hear what happened to you. You bought something and you got a hell of a deal. It was worth a lot more than you expected. Give us a call. Tell us what it is. We're going to talk to you on the Kevin Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. It's our toll-free number. We'll talk to you right after this on K. Guy buys a safe. Delivered online, thinks it's going to be empty, ends up having over $400,000 worth of pot inside. That's what we're talking about here today on the Kevin and Bean Show. You bought something, turned out to be way more valuable than you expected. Once in a while, you do get a great deal, and we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Who are we going to go to first?
Start with Josh. Hi, Josh.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, hi. Thanks.
How you doing, Lisa May?
I'm
how
good.
You
how
doing?
You doing?
Don't change there. All right. What'd you buy for how much, and what did it turn out to be worth?
I bought a Swedish Mauser for $60, and when I went to go resell it, I got it for $2,000.
Now, wait, a Swedish Mauser? That's some sort of dog?
No, it's a rifle that was built for World War I.
No wow, kidding. And tell me again, how much you pay for it and how much it was worth?
$60, and I sold it for $2,000, but I'm pretty sure it was worth more than that.
How about that? Now, did you know, do you have a good enough eye that when you first bought it, you realized, hey, this is the steal, or did you find out, after the fact that you had gotten a great deal?
I had no idea. I just turned 18, so I was like, I'm going to buy a rifle. And so I went down to a local sporting goods store, and they just had a whole wall of just different rifles. So I bought this one. And then a year later, we were trying to throw a party. We didn't have money. We were desperate. So I went to go sell it and found out it was worth way more.
That's amazing. All right, great call. Exactly what we're looking for. Thanks so much for the call. Hey, let's go to Mike. He's on line 4. He's got a Beatles memorabilia story for us. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Lisa May.
Hello.
What did you see?
Hello?
What did you buy?
Yes, a Beatle record player for $6, and I ended up selling it for $1,600 a few years later.
Unbelievable.
Wow. Sorry, we're having phone trouble here.
Yeah.
I apologize. Okay, that guy's gone. All right.
Did we lose Mike? All right, yeah. Pretty good deal. Now, are the Beatles still stupid, even if he made all that money, Kevin?
Oh, no, he made a lot of money. That's worth it.
Let's go to Robert. He's on line 6 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Robert. Thanks a lot for calling.
Hey, guys. How are you? Lisa May?
Good.
Good, thanks.
Oh, well, listen, I was just at the Cypress Swap Meet just this past weekend. I was looking for a subwoofer for my home theater system, and I bought one that had looked like a bunch of toys inside. I paid $7 for it, and I stuck my hand in the little hole for the subwoofer, and I started pulling toys out, and then I felt paper. I pulled it out, and it was a torn 20. I tore it. I'm like, there's like half a 20 in there. I stuck my hand even further in there. I couldn't get my hand any further, so I tore the back up. It was a bag with $2,200 in cash in it.
What?
Oh, yeah.
My
wow.
Gosh.
And ended up, when I talked to the people at the swap meet, they said that they had bought a bunch of stuff at a storage unit, and they were just trying to... $2,200.
I think
good
you
deal.
Came out ahead.
Not bad.
Good deal. All right, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Chris real quick. He's on line 7. Talk about finding something inside of something. Hey, Lisa.
Oh, man. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Kevin Bean. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Chris.
So my wife and I went to a yard sale, and we were buying maternity clothes just to save some money. Paid $25 for 2 big bags worth of just assorted clothes.
Mm-hmm.
About a week later, we opened it, and in one of the maternity pants, we found an old lady's Rolex watch.
Oh, those could be worth
real?
A lot.
It was real. It was genuine. So
sweet.
We tried to do the right thing. We tried to go back and return it, but the family had moved away.
Oh, what a shame.
So, yeah, so they were gone, and then we ended up going to a pawn shop, and then they said it was probably valued about maybe like $1,200, but they only gave us $500 for it. So we ended up buying a crib with that money.
Still, cool. Yeah.
Wow. Nice no deal. Kidding. That family deal. Probably never even knew that existed.
Yeah,
you know?
No kidding.
All right, thank you for the call. Let's go to Harold. He is now on line 4. This is like, this is totally pawn shop stuff, like the TV show.
Hi, Harold.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thanks. What'd you buy?
Me and my dad went out and bought a trombone.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought it for about $80 to $100. And it was kind of beat up and kind of dirty, so we went and had it cleaned and looked for a serial number and couldn't find one. We found a date instead. It was made back in 1918.
Sweet.
Wow. Where did you buy it from?
Zepp's Music Store.
And why really? Were you buying a trombone? I can't think of any reason why that is a... purchase that a human would make.
Well, the mother of my kid wanted to try a trombone. I don't know. She's weird, man.
Wait, did you say the mother of your kid wanted to try a trombone?
Yeah, I'm a single parent. My daughter lives with me, and she wanted to try a trombone.
All right.
Okay. I hope that's a euphemism, but it sounds like it. All right. So this trombone that was 95 years old, is it ends up being worth how much?
Right around $7,000.
Dude! Wow.
All right.
Wow.
And a music store didn't figure that out. That's amazing.
Yeah, they never had it cleaned. I mean,
wow.
The instruments have serial numbers in random places, and if you don't clean it thoroughly, then you're never going to find it. So they
how
never
about
cleaned
that?
It.
Kind of music store
they
is putting
clean
up
everything
old,
now.
Old janky trombones.
All right, we have one more. Thank you for the call, Harold. Appreciate that. We have one more. Let's talk to Chelsea. I think she's the winner in terms of paying the least and getting the most out of it. This is an unbelievable story. Chelsea, thank you for listening and calling the Kevin Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hi. My grandfather actually bought this really ugly oil painting in England for like $10, and it was in his house for years. And one day he was going to change the frame, and he actually found an original Titanic dinner menu in the back of it.
What? Wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. An original The Titanic?
From The Titanic, and this was right around the time that the movie came out. And he ended up on Oprah, and crazy.
What? So, did he sell it?
Yeah, he sold it for $75,000.
He got ripped off. It seems like it should be worth way more than that.
I know, especially with the movie. But that's how much he got for it.
I think that sounds like a pretty good investment to me. $10 in, $75,000 out. That's unbelievable. Was this a menu that had been on the ship, by the way?
Yeah, it was a dinner menu, yes. I don't know if it was recovered or what, but there's only 2 in existence in the world.
Wow. Wow.
So someone got off the ship onto a lifeboat with a dinner menu. How does that happen?
I don't know.
And a painting.
It sounds crazy, but it's a true story.
Wow,
so.
That's amazing.
I think your whole family is crazy, Chelsea. To be honest. I doubt the veracity of all of you. But thank you for... 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
We're going to talk about this Donald Trump being sued by the Attorney General of New York State coming up after the top of the hour. Wouldn't it be awesome if Donald Trump ended up in jail?
Oh, it'd be so sweet.
Be the best.
And as we learned from the Phil Spector movie, you have to take your toupee off when you go to jail, too. So we finally get to see what he looks like.
Oh, I love that.
Well, he doesn't have a toupee. He's got a comb over. That's the problem. It's his hair.
Really?
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
How can that, be
like
real?
That's really his hair.
Today, anyway, I'm very proud of myself.
You should be.
The Trump story is amazing if you haven't heard it. We've got that coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show, plus more Nine Inch Nails at the Troubadour tickets. First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
Because it is Tuesday. It's new release day. CDs, ooh, DVDs, and TV shows on DVD. Ooh. Here's what you can pick up.
Tell me.
Hail to the King, Avenged Sevenfold has a new CD.
I'm going to get it. I'll get it.
I already have it.
Is it a CD?
It came to me.
I'm going to buy it.
I got it in the back of my truck.
I like that band. I like that new song we're playing here on K-Rock, too. I'll totally get that.
How about Franz Ferdinand?
I love
like those guys?
I'm going to get that.
Oh,
I
actually do love that. Love Franz Ferdinand.
Right Thoughts, Right Words, Right Action is the name of their new CD.
I'm in.
Greatest Hits by Snow Patrol. New Snow Patrol. Well, not a new Snow Patrol CD, but some of their collective best music.
I think I'm fine with that.
I like Snow Patrol. Don't
I think
be
I got
a dick.
It. I think I got that covered. I got enough of that.
Life Acoustic by Everlast?
No.
Oh, come on. How are you going to come at the Ever like that? Hall of Fame by Big Sean?
No.
This has just become a bit buy or not buy with Bean.
Right. Right.
And Stay Trippy by Juicy J. That's right.
Yeah.
Juicy J. What would you say if you're riding into Juicy J, Beer Mug?
I bet you want me to play this clip now, don't you?
Sure do.
How you doing, Juicy?
Yeah, that's what he asked. How you doing, Juicy?
How you doing, Juicy?
Today on DVD, The Great Gatsby. Did you miss that with Leonardo DiCaprio?
I did not. It was good, though.
You did not.
I didn't.
I
miss
missed
that.
It.
Okay. I didn't miss it. Okay. It was good.
So that's out now too.
You'll like it, Lisa.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
That's right. He's in The Great Gatsby. Pain and Gain. Mark Wahlberg and Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Saw it. Seen it.
Was
don't
it
need
good?
It.
I haven't seen it, and I would like to see it. So
I think
now I will see it.
I think it's better than you would think.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it better than you would think?
Those are two very different things.
That's right. And TV shows on DVD, Elementary. Those of you Sherlock Holmes fans who missed the first season of that, that's available now on DVD.
Love that show.
It's a great show. Grey's Anatomy, the complete ninth season. That's been on the air for nine
wow.
And I've
seasons.
Watched them all.
Oh, Lisa.
Wow.
There's no hope for you.
Do you ever give up on a show, Lisa? Do you ever just go, no,
yeah,
no more?
Totally. ER. Then how, remember then how long ER ran?
Well, it ran for 38 years.
Yeah.
We all gave up.
I gave up on that.
Most people started watching ER died before the end of the run.
ER might even still be on, for all I know. How are you still sticking with Grey's Anatomy? Is it still good?
For me, it's still good. Yeah. If it wasn't, I would leave.
You don't ever look at it and go,
I'm bored. I don't.
Okay.
I still like it.
The Walking Dead, complete third season's available. And Sons of Anarchy.
I believe it's Anarchy.
Kevin, it's not how it's spelled. Season 5, you can pick that up. Speaking of Sons of Anarchy, it's just been announced that they will get their own after-show talk show. That's the thing these days. That's what everybody has. Started with The Talking Dead after The Walking Dead with Chris Hardwick, of course, and then Talking Bad after Breaking Bad. Then Shark Week had their Talking Sharks or whatever that
Shark After
show.
Dark.
Shark
right?
After Dark. And now we're going to have a Anarchy Afterward, it'll be called, where you get together and talk about the Sons of Anarchy after that show.
It's just cheap programming for a TV channel, right? That's all that's about.
Yes, but it also, I believe, fosters passion for the product because you see fans talking passionately about a TV show, and it sometimes gets you more involved.
Makes sense.
I think it's a good way to get people involved in the show. Certainly, it has been for Walking Dead. A lot of people watch The Walking Dead show as passionately as they watch Talking Dead, as passionately as they watch Walking Dead, because they disagree with people's opinions, or they're watching
right.
fellow super fans get their thoughts out there. So,
well, we love Sons of Anarchy, and I know that Mr. Sutter, who created the show, occasionally does listen to the Kevin Bean Show. So if you're out there, we want to have you on. We want to talk about it. We're so psyched about it coming back.
And we were just mentioning Breaking Bad. Lex Luthor. It has been announced will be played by none other than Bryan Cranston of that TV series. He has racked up plenty of evildoer hours on his series, and I think he's ready to take on one of the greatest villains of all time. He'll be playing that in the sequel to Man of Steel. this time, Lex Luthor apparently is going to be a meth dealer with cancer, though. That's what
really?
I understand.
That's
yeah.
odd. So,
seems like a strange choice. And Robert Pattinson's in the news. He's sad, Robert Pattinson.
Oh, hate to see that.
Says during interview that people don't appreciate how lonely he is.
How many times has he said this?
He's a lonely, lonely man.
Really? I mean, he complains about it all the time.
People don't notice how lonely you are when you're a superstar.
Uh-huh.
He says, and he's grateful that he had a life before superstardom struck because he thinks he would have a hard time getting through it. Sounds like he's having a hard time getting through it now.
No kidding.
He gets lots of love and support, however, from his two dogs, Bear and Bernie. He says he turned to them during this rough time in his life.
He doesn't count Kristen Stewart as one of the dogs?
Zing, 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 ring, bang, zoom.
What a pathetic dude.
My two bears give me love.
But he has a guitar, bear, right? He's got his guitar.
That's his only friend.
Sure. His only friend.
And
I'm bored! I'm bored! I'm bored!
New reality show in the works for Tori Spelling. Thank God.
Long time coming, huh?
She already had one.
Oh.
Which was about, I don't know, her and her husband raising their kids, whatever.
Dean this, and Dean and Tori, right?
Yeah, this one is going to be called Tori and Dean. It's a very different show.
They're really mixing it up.
It's called Tori and Dean Cabin Fever.
Wait, it really is?
Yes, Tori and Dean.
I thought you were making a joke.
: Cabin Fever.
Why?
This will be about her family's attempts to renovate their lakeside cottage outside of Ontario, Canada.
Oh, no.
They've got a little cabin on the lake, and they're gonna fix it up. They're going to, come on, everybody, let's grab a hammer. Let's fix up this cabin.
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
I tripped across a Candy Spelling reality show where she was looking for a new place in New York City.
See?
That's
it's
not
a reality
a show.
Huh.
Stop it.
I'll tell you how long Kevin Smith and I have been trying to get Hollywood Babylon on television. But at least Tori Spelling fixing her cabin, at least that's got a green light. At least that's going to be happening.
That's just not good.
Sweet Jesus.
All right, so I'll put you down as a no.
Speaking of Kevin Smith and I in Hollywood Babylon, this Friday night at 10 p.m., we're returning home to our headquarters. There on Melrose, the Hollywood Improv. We'll be doing our show 10 p.m. this Friday night at the Improv. You can go to Babble on Ralph or babbleonralph.com or improv.com or csmod.com. Lots of ways you can go get more information and tickets. Love to see you have you come out tonight. Or
the hour is coming.
The hour is coming. It's not tonight. It's Friday night. That hour is coming then. Today's celebrity birthdays, Aaron Paul, another Breaking Bad alum. He is 34 years old today. Actress Sarah Chalk, who I just loved on Scrubs.
She was great.
She was great.
And then she had her own show just recently about moving in with her parents again.
Mm-hmm.
How to live with your parents for the rest of your life.
Yes. I sure loved her on Scrubs.
Yeah, me too.
She is 37 years old today. Bassist Tony Kanal of No Doubt is 43 years old. Bobo, percussionist for Cypress Hill, and also an adorable little terrier who lives in my neighborhood.
Hmm.
I don't know if it's the same Bobo.
Probably not.
45 years old today. No, because dogs don't get to be 45, right? That's probably why.
That's true.
They don't play percussion.
Paul Rubens, Pee-wee Mother Effin' Herman. We've got a new series coming from him next year and a new feature film on the horizon. Couldn't be happier to see the return of Pee-wee. He is 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Minutes away from your tickets to see Nine Inch Nails at the True. We've got them for you coming up again this half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Donald Trump in the news. I could not be more delighted to see that he is being sued by the state of New York for $40 million.
Wow, for what?
Wow, they're mad at him.
Love it.
He has had a number of problems with what he calls the Donald Trump University.
What is that?
It's basically what it is he has a course that you can take where he says, you want to be rich like me, you want to be a billionaire like me, you want to have my life, you want to be where I'm at, sign up for my seminars and I'll teach you how to do what I do with buying and selling real estate. There are students, up to 5,000 students have paid as much as $35,000 to take these Donald Trump seminars. They thought that, here's in the complaint, they thought they would at least meet Donald Trump, but instead all they got was their picture taken in front of a life-size picture of the Apprentice TV star. he basically is saying, I'm going to teach you how to do what I do, and then you take these courses, and then at the end of them, sometimes they're 3 days, sometimes they're a week, you don't really know anything. You can't learn how to do what Donald Trump does or what other people who are even more successful than him do over the course of a weekend. It just doesn't work that way. You're throwing your money away, and you can't call it a university because it's not accredited. And New York is basically saying to Donald Trump, you, stop it and give us $40 million.
Wow.
Isn't that
I
great?
Love it.
I know.
The people who watch The Apprentice, and I assume if you're a Donald Trump fan enough that you would pay for something like this, you know what a moron he is, right?
I would think
Why
so.
Why would you ever write a huge check to go learn from Donald Trump or somebody who's working for him? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know either.
That doesn't make any sense.
No. Well, we wanted to find out more about this, so we thought we're lucky enough to know Mr. Trump personally. So let's get him on the line and find out what he has to say. I'm sure he thinks this lawsuit is outrageous. Hi, Donald Trump. Welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show, sir.
Hello, Trump University. How can I help you?
Well, you're not allowed to call it Trump University anymore because you're not a university.
We are. We're a university, a wonderful institution of learning here at Trump University.
Are you accredited?
I am Professor Trump at your service. How may I help you and teach you today?
Are you accredited?
You know, is Yale accredited?
Yes, it is.
Are you sure?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely, 100%, yes.
Is Harvard accredited?
Yes, it also is accredited, yes.
But when they started, they probably weren't accredited. They probably, like, the past week or so, they got accredited.
I don't think so. I think they've been accredited for quite some time.
Sometimes a school has to begin before it can be accredited, and that's here what we do here at Trump University, where we teach you how to be rich, just like Professor Donald Trump.
Here's one article on the news story. There's another word for consumers who believe in the Trump brand enough to pay $35,000 to go to something called Donald Trump University, and it rhymes with borons.
Boron. That is an element on the periodical chart.
Right.
See, you can learn that at Trump University. We have lessons in chemistry, business, arts. Whatever you want to learn, you can learn at Trump University.
What are people getting out of up to $35,000 in fees and tuitions? What can you teach somebody sometimes in as little as a weekend, Mr. Trump?
You can learn the patented Donald Trump technique for getting rich and famous.
Which is?
Start a school and have people pay you $35,000 to come to it.
Okay. That makes sense.
Wasn't most of your success due to the fact that you were born to a real estate developer who was already very, very wealthy to get you started?
That doesn't hurt. And that is lesson one here at Trump University.
That's lesson one? You don't have...
Born into a rich family.
You don't have any control over that.
Or do you?
Well, you don't.
But do you?
No. The answer is no.
But what if you did?
But you don't.
But if in case you do.
Right, but no one
should.
Does.
But then, what if you can?
But you can't.
But if you can, then do it, is what we say.
All right.
At Trump University.
What about
also, we teach you the ins and outs of real estate.
Okay. Like what?
What's a good property when it is not very expensive.
Right. I can,
then
but I know that.
Sell it when property is at a premium.
Right.
That will give you a profit.
Buy low, sell high. Got it.
Oh, that's good. Hold on. Let me write that
down. No, that's what I'm saying.
Buy low,
that's...
sell. Sell what?
High.
High.
That's...
Buy low, sell high.
It's pretty common knowledge, though.
That is the name of our new class here at Trump University. Buy low, sell high. Okay. With special guest professor, Kevin.
What about the complaint that the students had at least an expectation that they would get to meet you or that you would be there teaching
they
in some capacity?
Me. They well, met they, me.
They get a picture taken with a stand-up, with a cardboard stand-up of you from the TV show.
Or was that really me just being really flat?
They said it was cardboard.
Or was I just leaning against the wall being very still?
No.
It's hard to know because we weren't there, but they... I take their word for it. They know cardboard when they see it.
Or was I hiding behind the cardboard, peeking out through those eyes, like one of those movies where the eyes are moving in the picture?
I don't think that was happening either. It was not happening at all.
These are all possibilities, and that's what Trump University is all about the many possibilities of life. If you come here in a row, you will learn business. You will learn arts, sciences, medicine, law.
You don't teach law.
We do. We teach you, do not sue me. That's one class that we have.
That's a whole class.
It's all about law, about kinds of suits they should not bring against me.
So what's your defense going to be to the $40 million lawsuit from the Attorney General of New York? I mean, he sounds like he's really going for it.
I'm going to say, listen, come to Trump University, watch our football team, catch a football game, and then see if you feel that we're not a real university.
You have a football team?
Yes. Our mascot is the llama. The Trump llamas.
I was not expecting that.
She's our llama. She goes around campus, and all the kids love her.
That is that's a terrible noise.
Well, we're a terrible team.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 937. That is brand new Eminem.
Yeah, it is.
How about that? Called Berserk. And it's off of their new CD, MMLP2, yeah. Marshall Mathers.
Oh, that just rolls off the tongue, that MLPLQMR52. I love that.
It's off their new CD. I hope they're all very happy with their work.
It's coming out November 5th. Can't wait.
Hey, Ralph Kramer's here with the Showbiz Beat. Do we have time for to squeeze in a moment with perhaps here that might be new?
Well, you know me. I usually don't go in for those sort of shenanigans. But in this particular case, I'll make an exception.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Are there any things that I've changed my mind in the time since 2013 and with the time you are? Yes. Could I try that again?
That was a moment with Kevin.
All right, play that again.
Yeah, oh, come on. Play that again.
You didn't even want to play
it. Play it again.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Are there any things that I've changed my mind in the time since 2013 and with the time you are? Yes. Could I try that again?
That was a moment with Kevin.
Right, one more time. One more time. Because I'm just still trying to soak it in.
In my defense, I'm talking to myself in the future. That's a little...
I'm just trying to soak it in. I'm just trying to break it down in my head. One more time.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Are there any things that I've changed my mind in the time since 2013 and with the time you are? Yes. Could I try that again?
That was a moment with Kevin.
Well said, Kevin.
Man. Yeah, Kevin, God damn it.
But in my defense, I was talking to myself in the future. That's a little confusing.
We've heard your defense, sir. Okay. Please sit back down.
All right.
Lawyers are first the bench. First the bench, Lawyers, please.
That was pretty sweet, by the way. I think this is, look.
We live Kevin in a golden age, is that what you're saying?
Kevin is a 20 year in a row all-star batter, okay? Yet this year may be his career highlight. This may be the best year for moments with ever.
We're going to start testing him for PEDs.
I think so. Because something's going on. It's superhuman, his capacity to generate moments with. All right, time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat now. Here's Ralph.
That Eminem song we just played was teased during the VMAs on Sunday night, MTV Video Music Awards. The Parents Television Council, surprisingly,
loved it.
Unhappy with the VMAs this year. Yeah, especially Miley Cyrus's performance.
Well, we were all unhappy with that.
Yeah, but for different reasons. They think that MTV is exploiting young women. Because, you know, MTV, they took her backstage and put a gun to her head and said, "You're going to get out there and hump a teddy bear, lady. Or you're going to rip off your dress and start twerking in Robin Thicke's face, or else there's going to be hell to pay."
But I don't want to.
Oh, yeah, sexy lady. Yeah. That's my type right there.
Yeah. MTV had nothing to do with Miley Cyrus wanting to make a whore out of herself.
No, she's doing that by herself, right?
Here's their statement. MTV continues to sexually exploit young women by promoting acts that incorporate twerking in nude-colored bikinis. How is this image of former child star Miley Cyrus appropriate for 14-year-olds?
Were they crying?
I like sticking out my tongue a lot and stuff like that, and like dancing with teddy bears and stuff like that, and yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
MTV has once again succeeded in marketing sexually charged messages to young children using former child stars and condom commercials, while falsely rating this program as appropriate for children as young as 14. By the way, I think we should put condoms in all their lunchboxes, too, when we send them off to school, whatever it takes. Saves lives and stops babies. What's wrong with condoms? That's the Parents Television Council for you right there. Little upset. What are you going to do, huh?
Nothing.
Speaking of which, there's that photo circulating online of the Will Smith and family
looking aghast as they watch Miley's performance. Well, turns out that little still from the TV show was actually shot during Lady Gaga's performance. That's when they were aghast.
Okay.
So Miley's people wants everyone to know that. So get it straight. They weren't being shocked by Miley's performance. It was Lady Gaga that made them go. Is that cardboard box, man?
Yeah, that'll freak you right the F out.
Freak everybody out. One Direction's new fragrance dropped over the weekend. Everybody pick up a bottle of One Moment. One Moment fragrance?
No, I didn't.
No.
I didn't see it.
Well, you know why, Lisa?
Uh-uh.
Because it's sold out.
Oh, my God, it's One Direction. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm peeing in my pants. I am shitting all over myself. It is One Direction.
The moment it hit the shelves, People Magazine says, stores were selling out literally the day that it was shipped in and they put it out on shelves. One Moment sold out around the country. The fragrance reportedly smells like fruits, flowers, and essential oils. I don't know, want to know the essential oils of five teenage boys are. I don't want to know what those oils are. I don't want them in my fragrance, that's for sure.
Doesn't all the major pop stars, Katy Perry, Bieber, Gaga, they all have fragrances
all have
now. Rihanna, it's part of the part of Taylor Swift has got one. It's just part of the deal now with the marketing.
And
now,
they make dough on that, too. It's a huge industry, yeah. We
got
to get a Kevin and Bean scent.
You
I don't think
to.
I'm on.
Anybody wants
Kevin
to
and Bean scent. We'll call it, What'd You Do? Smells like donkey ass.
That's what we'll call it. Smells like donkey ass.
New this season.
Donkey ass.
What'd you do? What did you do? Come on. It'd be awesome. The bottle be shaped like Kevin Kevin-y.
That'd be great.
What'd you do?
I like it.
Smells like donkey ass. And there's good
news.
We
should make it literally smell like donkey ass.
No, we should not.
Yes, that'd be funny.
No, it would not. It would be smelly. Good news about the Man of Steel sequel. After all the weeping and gnashing of teeth over Ben Affleck being cast as Batman. That was just in my house.
Most of us don't care that much, Ralph.
Yeah, but the people in the geek community, it was a bone of contention. It was a hotly debated choice by Warner Brothers. This, however, will not be hotly debated. Everyone seems to be uniformly happy with the casting of Bryan Cranston as Lex Luthor. In the next film. I can't think of many actors who would be better in that role than Bryan Cranston. And apparently they're signing him on for a multi-film deal, so maybe he'll reprise the role in the upcoming Justice League movie or another Superman movie, but it's good times. Good times for Superman fans.
He's just a great actor. I mean,
absolutely.
Obviously everybody knows it now because of Breaking Bad, but he's great in all the movies. He's been in a lot of movies, including Argo last year. He's just always great.
Never been bad. Today's celebrity birthdays. Aaron Paul is 34 years old today, speaking of Breaking Bad alumni. Sarah Chalk is 37 years old. Tony Canal, of No Doubt, celebrates his 43rd birthday. Bobo of Cypress Hill is 45. And Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman himself, celebrates his 61st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to the world's oldest One Direction fan. She's 79 years old. We met her through
Morgan Spurlock.
Morgan Spurlock. Yeah, he sent me the picture, and I posted it, and she tweeted to me today. She put up a video. She's crazy. She's crazy.
She put up a video of her twerking?
It's hard to tell what she means.
Oh, okay.
But she is dancing.
Oh, awesome.
That is happening. You were injured before a wedding or some important event, and we also have What's Up with Florida and your 9-inch Nails tickets at The True tomorrow morning on an